All right, good morning, everyone. Good to see you. You can stay up here if you want. But we're at the end of Galatians now. The book of Galatians, sometimes when I'm preaching through books of the Bible, it feels like kind of like a marathon. But Galatians for me was, just so fruitful. And I think partly because, especially for those who have been Christian for a while, when you're a Christian for a long time, sometimes a lot of things get assumed. You think you know everything and you kind of internalize it, and then you never really think about it again. But I think, sometimes it's just important to go back to the beginning, to the basics, to remember that, when we're a Christian, when you are a worshiper of God, when you love Jesus, you never really get to the end. You always have to start at the beginning again because, we're sinful people. And because we're sinful, we're going to forget why we are even here. Why are we gathering today? Why are we worshiping? Why do we sing? We forget those things every week. And so we got to be reminded from maybe every single day why we are here. And I think Galatians was a fruitful book for us to be reminded why we are here. We are justified by faith. The gospel is not something that we've earned, none of us here, but it's something that we've received. And because we receive it, we have joy. We have this excitement. We have this love for Jesus because it's not something that we could have gotten for ourselves, but he gave it to us. And so with that, as we end this letter of Galatians, may we really be reminded, what is the gospel again? Why is this so important? So before we do that, let me pray for us. As we read his word again, Lord, let's pray together. Lord, we thank you. We pray for just your spirit to be upon us. We know that, if we repent and believe, you send your spirit to us so that we may hear, we may obey, we may follow, and we may have joy and contentment in our hearts. Father, I pray for each and every one of us that we would recognize and realize the beauty of who you are, the words that are being given to us, and especially today, the beauty of the cross. Thank you for this time, just this hour set apart this Sunday so that we could really just focus our hearts and our minds on you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Again, we're at the last part of Galatians. And, what Paul is doing here is now closing this letter. I don't know if you grew up in the church, sometimes you hear sermons where the pastor would say at the very end, I remember listening to sermons, and they would say, all right, it's the end. Now, if you haven't been listening to anything that I've been saying so far, I want you to pay attention to this last part, and when he said that, I start paying attention because I wasn't paying attention before. So I start paying attention. He said, this is the most important part. I want you to remember this. And basically, this is how Paul's closing his letter. He's saying, listen carefully in verse 11. See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. He's actually saying that literally he's writing large letters. And as he's finishing this letter, what he's doing is he takes the pen from his scribe. He had a scribe who was writing everything. This time he takes the pen from his scribe who has been writing this letter. And as the letter is closing, he finishes the letter himself, partly because it's a signature, right? He wants to make sure that when people see this letter, they know that he was the one who was writing it, but also because he wants to make sure that they understand the emphasis of these last points. And he's writing with large letters and bolded font. He's underlining it so that we may understand it. And here's the main idea that I want you to understand, that he wants us to understand, is that you may boast in the cross. Yeah, we're going to learn about that, but what does it mean? But we want to boast in the cross. Our purpose today is really just to unpack that. So I think the first thing that we have to understand is, first, what is boasting in the flesh? All right, boasting in the flesh. Let me read for us again, verse 12 to 13. You know, it is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to become be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. You know, again, as we've been going through the book of Galatians, there has been a common theme that Paul's been addressing, and a common people that Paul has been addressing, and these people are the group of Judaizers, right? The Judaizers, who were the ones who were going into the churches, who were going into the individual churches, and they were preaching a different kind of message. They were telling the people, if you really want to be saved, you must follow this law. This law specifically pertaining to being circumcised. And they went in and they put that upon people to make sure that they would do it. Otherwise, you know, you're not going to see the salvation of God. They said, in order to be saved, you must take upon yourself this sign. You know, what is the sign of circumcision, if you haven't been with us? You know, in the Old Testament, the sign of circumcision was the sign that you were set aside from the rest of the world. That's why only the Jewish people were circumcised. It meant that if you go through this process, you are no longer of the world, but now you are cut off, you know, from the people. You are set aside. You are now made holy as a people of God. But here's the problem. Was that still valid during the time of Paul, after Jesus? And the answer to that is no. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, it says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. You were far away, but now you are brought near to the blood of Christ. See, I think being a Christian is not about coming from a specific place. It's not about coming from a particular kind of family. It's not coming from a specific nation, but it's about belonging to Jesus. That's what it means to be a Christian. And yet, these Judaizers, rather than focusing on the belonging to Jesus part, what they did was instead they focused on the law part, the being circumcised part, belonging to their particular group, their particular heritage, their ethnicity, their cultures and their customs. They said, if you really want to be a Christian, you have to look like us. You have to act like us. But see, that's not what the gospel calls for. See, Paul says these people are boasting in their flesh. They're proud of their heritage, their ethnicity, their righteousness, their works. But that's not what the gospel calls for. He then goes on to explain these characteristics of those who boast in the flesh. I'm going to kind of split up these verses, these few verses here in verse 12, and explain what does it mean that they were boasting in the flesh. Here's the first one. It means that they emphasize the external rather than the internal. Okay, verse 12, it says, it's those who want to make a good showing in the flesh. Now, they want to make a good showing in the flesh. They emphasize the external rather than the internal. The Judaizers, they focused on this external religious kind of works. They wanted to make sure that they looked good doing the things that they were doing. Essentially, they created this religion that they could control and manage, and as long as they could do all the things that they said that they were going to do, then people would look at them and say, wow, you're really holy, aren't you? You're really righteous. They will tell the church, look at us. We follow the law. We do all these things. We fast. We give of our money. We are righteous. But in reality, they were simply creating their own religion. You know, if you've ever done this before, if you have siblings mostly, right? If you have a sibling, you've probably grown up and you played a lot of games together. You know, I had a younger brother. He was only 2 years younger than me, so we were fairly competitive. But, you know, because I was, 2 years older, I was a little smarter than him growing up, right? So we would play games, but I would always rig the games so that I would always win. You ever do that? So we would set up, we would have days. We would have days of like a three-day-long competition. I set up all these games, and I would play all these games, and I would make sure I would play games that only I could win so that I would say to him, I'm still your older brother. I'm going to beat you every single time. And, I would beat him, and he would, start crying, and he would, yell at me, and he would try to beat me up, and he couldn't do anything. But what is it? I made these games specifically so that I could win. And as I won, what happened? I felt good about myself. Man, I'm so much stronger than him. I'm so much smarter than him. Man, I'm the older brother, right? Here, these Judaizers, they created and rigged a system of religion so that they could win. They created and fabricated this religion so that they could feel good about themselves. To say, look, if I do this, do circumcision, make sure other people get circumcised, follow some of these customs, then I'm righteous and I'm holy and I win the game. And I get the salvation that I've been looking for. They felt accomplished and justified. But the problem is that Christianity is not a religion that is focused on doing. They missed the point. Sometimes we think that. We think about being a Christian and we think, man, isn't there so much you have to do to be a Christian? That's not true. Christianity is not a religion that's focused on doing, but a religion that is focused on being. See, when you are in Christ, we don't first do what Jesus did. I know it's popular to think that way, to say, what did Jesus do or what would Jesus do? And so that's what being a Christian is. But that's not it. That's not the first thing. But it's to receive what Jesus did. It's to believe what Jesus did. See, faith is not about doing, but it's about being. For that reason, the impetus and drive and motivation for our faith, it must begin internally. It has to come from within. It has to be an inward and spiritual work that eventually overflows outside. It eventually overflows outside. It's easy to focus on the external. Right? All of us do that. It can give us a certain sense of accomplishment when we do that. We feel accomplished. We feel like we're getting somewhere. But when you disregard the heart, you will lose your way. I think of so many people, even in ministry, where it's such a danger. Those even pastors and teachers and leaders and all kinds of people who are in ministry and they focused so much on the external aspects of faith. As long as I do this and as long as I strive forward and continue doing all the things that people expect me to do, then I should be fine. But man, even in my short life, just seeing so many people who have fallen away from faith in an instant. What happened? They were serving every single day, doing as much as anybody else was doing, and yet in an instant, they disappeared. It's because there was no inward change and inward work. So you can do anything. You can do everything in the church, ministry-wise. But if there's no inward work, inward change, spiritual growth, then it really doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. See, this is what the Judaizers were focusing on. They were elevating this external kind of behavior and neglecting the internal. And what's going to happen is they're going to find out at the end it doesn't mean anything. Another aspect of boasting in the flesh is that they escape persecution for the sake of preservation. The second part of the verse says, only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. The Judaizers maintained following the Jewish law so that they would not be persecuted. They were scared of suffering. And so they boasted in the flesh, and they understood that as long as I boast in the flesh, then no one's going to come out to get me. As long as I emphasize these things that people expect me to emphasize, then no one is going to persecute me. But here's the thing. Right, the more you treasure something, the more you'll try to preserve it. And that's where it went wrong. See, the Judaizers, they treasured the flesh. the external, the outside. And because they treasured it so much, they preserved it so that they would not face suffering. We do this, right? The more you treasure something, the more you'll try to preserve it. Collected baseball cards. And if you ever got a good baseball card or Pokemon cards, right, that's something, right? Pokemon cards, baseball cards, whatever it is. If you had a good one, what did you do with it? Put in a plastic sleeve. If it was really good, you put that plastic sleeve and you put it in a plastic case. And if it was really good, you take that plastic sleeve, put it in a plastic case, and you put it in another plastic case with like screws on it, right? So you protect it. It was like your most prized possession. Or if you go to a house, my parents' house, or I don't know, for some reason, I don't know if it's only in Asian homes, but, you know, my parents would buy a couch. And it was a nice couch, but they treasured it so much that they would put this couch in this area where no one would sit, and then put the plastic tarp on it to make it the worst couch in the world to sit on. They treasured it, and they tried to preserve it so that it would never undergo any sort of, you know, damage or anything like that. But what happened to it? It just sits there, collecting dust, getting no use. It's worthless. What are you going to do with it? People come over, they can't even sit on there. It's worthless. They preserve it. They treasure it. We treasure things so much that we try to preserve it so that it never undergoes any sort of damage. See, when the Judaizers boasted in their flesh, they treasured their present-day life to the extent that they sought to escape any suffering and persecution, to preserve what they had. If they had a standing within the community, rather than standing up to others, they said, I want to continue to be in this place, in this role, in this hierarchy that I am right now. I don't want to damage it. Right? That happens. You know, if we have a certain role, certain standing in society, we don't want to rock the boat. Right? We don't want to make it so that people would push us off our place. We want to preserve our place. See, Paul, on the other hand, underwent persecution for the sake of the cross. Not because he desired it, but because he didn't value his life more than the gospel. And we see examples of this all throughout Scripture. In 2 Corinthians 11:24, he says, 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. Meaning, they believed that if you were lashed 40 times, you would die. And so they would lash you 39 times so that you wouldn't die. You went through that 5 times. See, there are times you must endure persecution for the sake of Christ. It may not be now or tomorrow, but you must be prepared when that time comes. If you are not prepared, our sinful tendency will be to preserve rather than to persevere. Mark chapter 8, verse 36 says, "For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul?" We can gain the whole world and yet forfeit our souls. You can preserve your life, but what are you giving up in the process? See, those who boast in the flesh seek to keep everything and never go through persecution or suffering that they may have to go through at some point. Thirdly, those who boast in the flesh enact standards for others that they themselves cannot keep. I'm trying to follow the E theme. I feel like I spent too much time doing that, but nevertheless, hopefully it's helpful for you, right? They enact standards for others that they can't keep. Verse 13 says, "For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh." Now, basically, although the Judaizers continue to talk about the law and following the law, they themselves did not keep the law. And the reason being is that they emphasize certain aspects of the law, like circumcision, and yet they ignore all the other aspects. You know, what is the law, the summary of the law? It's to love God and love one another. They felt like they were keeping some parts of the law, and they were going after those and trying to keep that, but they neglected completely what the purpose of the law was. See, they were telling the church, you need to follow the law or else. But in reality, the Judaizers were not living up to the standard that they were setting up for others. And if they truly lived up to the law, we know that these people would be different. They wouldn't have been doing and saying the same things that they were saying at the time, but they would have lived differently. But instead, they only emphasized circumcision because it was the one thing that they knew how to follow. See, I think for us, when we boast in the flesh, we have an inflated view of our opinions, intentions, motivations, and actions. And what happens is we tend to elevate aspects of ourselves and disregard others. You know, I think we all do this. You criticize people because they don't do the things that you do. Or you criticize others because they don't do the things that you do. Or they don't think in the same way that you think. They're not as passionate about the things that you're passionate about, and so you criticize them because you think highly of yourself. You elevate yourself and you expect everybody else to follow and stay upon your, to stay in your place, to be on your level. In doing so, we're boasting in the flesh saying, you know, we are the standard that everybody else has to live up to. See, the Judaizers did that. They said, well, you know what? We're going to elevate our culture and our heritage. We think it's important. We want to make sure everybody else follows it. Not recognizing they're forcing people to follow something that they actually don't even need to follow. But they are proud of it, so they're going to make everybody else follow it as well. They're setting a standard that cannot be kept by anyone. They said they must follow the law, but they themselves could not follow the law. You know, the problem is that the Judaizers and us as well, we're setting a bar for people. And we're asking people to jump over that bar, failing to recognize that we ourselves cannot jump over it. We set the bar high and saying, these are all the things in order to be a good, moral, righteous, holy person, you must jump over. And yet we fail to recognize that we have so many blind spots as well where we can't jump over it either. The only way we're actually able to get over that bar is Jesus. Jesus was the only one who could manage to obey the fullness of the law. If we're going to call people to obey the law, to do the things that Jesus did, it can't be simply to follow me, to do what I tell you to do. But it's to follow Jesus, because he alone obeyed completely. For that reason, we don't enact standards for others to deem them worthy or unworthy. We don't place standards on people saying, well, if you do this, then that means you're worthy or that means you're unworthy. Instead, we are all unworthy, but we are made worthy in Christ. We don't tell people, follow my rules, but follow Jesus. Therefore, we don't enact standards for people, for we ourselves cannot follow them, but instead we point people to Christ. What then is boasting in the cross? What is boasting in the cross then? You know, we all boast in the flesh. We fail in so many ways. What does it mean to boast in the cross? In verse 14, but far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. You know, one thing we have to recognize is the power of these words. You know, what does Paul mean? You know, I think sometimes we read scripture and it becomes something we've read so many times, it just passes over us. Well, what does this actually mean? And when Paul says that he will boast in the cross of Jesus Christ, the equivalent of that is saying today, I'm going to boast in the electric chair. The electric chair, the torture device that puts people to death. I'm going to boast in the electric chair. I'm going to wear it around my neck. We're going to hang up a picture of the electric chair. I'm going to boast in it. What does he mean when he says, I'm going to boast in the cross? Because the cross at that time was probably the most hideous thing to think about. No one would boast in the cross. Why would you boast in something like that? Because Paul knew that it's only in the cross where he could find salvation. Let me read for us a quote by John Stott. He says this: God could quite justly have abandoned us to our fate. He could have left us alone to reap the fruit of our wrongdoing and to perish in our sins. It is what we deserved. But he did not. Because he loved us, he came after us in Christ. He pursued us even to the desolate anguish of the cross, where he bore our sins, guilt, judgment, and death. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Why does Paul talk about the cross? Because only at the cross is where we will find salvation. See, that's an offensive message. That's an offensive message. Right? If we talked about the electric chair and boasted in the electric chair, that would probably be offensive today. But even talking at that time about the cross was even more offensive. You know, I think it was partly offensive to the irreligious people, those who did not follow the religious customs, those who were not growing up in the religious ways. It was offensive to the irreligious people. Why? Because the cross means to the irreligious that there is one way to Jesus. That's offensive. To say, wait, if I want to be saved, I can't just be a good moral person throughout my life. You're telling me that I have to believe that there was a man that was sent down to die for me and that I need to believe in him so that I can have salvation. That he would have to die on the cross. Right, Bertrand Russell, he called the cross the doctrine of cruelty. Seeing there's a religion, why would you even bring a cross into this? It's offensive. See, it's offensive to the irreligious, to those who have not grown up in the religious ways, because it means that you can't just simply live a good life and go to heaven. That's an offensive message. But it's also offensive to the religious. And that's what Paul's getting at. It's offensive to the religious people because it means that all the righteous works that you have done from the time you were little all the way through your ages, all the way through your years, all those things, every hour that you spent doing ministry in the church, all the money that you have given, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't earn you one step into the kingdom of heaven. And that offends the religious people too. To see, the cross means that you cannot earn your way. You have done nothing to deserve what Jesus has for you. Even the people who are messy, who don't have their lives together, who have failed again and again, you're in the same place as them. Isn't that offensive? To say, I've worked hard in my life to get to where I am today. And you're telling me I'm exactly the same as someone who's failed every point in their lives? The cross tells us, yes, you're exactly the same. But just as God chose what was despised and dirty to show the power of salvation in the cross, the good news is God would choose broken and dirty and messy people to show the power of his salvation. When Paul says that we are to boast in the cross, we are to boast in the fact that it is not our enlightenment, our intellect, our works, our power, our willpower, our money, our success, or any of these things that make us a son and daughter of God. But it is simply God's work on the cross. It is simply God's work on the cross. So, for those who boast in the cross, what does it mean? It means that we must eliminate the power the world has on you. It says, the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. It means the world is not dead, but it is dead to me. It has no power over me. The world cannot force me to treasure the things that I should not be treasuring, because it no longer has the grip on my heart that it used to. I no longer chase after the things that I once chased after. The world has died to me. And it is only when it's dead to you that you can actually enjoy it. God has given us a creation, and when God has given us creation, we can actually enjoy the fruits of his creation, but not if we're trying to earn our way to heaven. Not if we treasure the world to the extent that it means everything to me, because all those things can be taken away at a moment's notice. But when it's dead to us is when we can actually glorify God through his creation. Secondly, we must embrace life as a new creation. Verse 15, for neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. When we are saved by Jesus, he sends the Spirit into our hearts, which we've been learning again and again. He sends the Spirit into our hearts so that we now have the ability to follow rather than only being able to commit sin. We have the ability to follow Jesus now when the Spirit is sent into our hearts and our lives. Now, while the old is not completely removed, we will still struggle with sin, but we are no longer living as slaves of sin, no longer living as we did in the past. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. We have the Spirit. You're no longer only obligated to follow your sinful nature, but now we have our spirit nature that we can now use to obey and follow Jesus. And thirdly, those who boast in the cross exemplify peace, mercy, and grace every day. Verse 16, and as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. Israel of God is simply the church, the new church. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear my body the marks of Christ. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers, amen. Those who boast in the cross will carry with them peace, mercy, and grace, because in Christ they have been shown ultimately peace, mercy, and grace. Those who have been shown that can now carry that with them. On the other hand, those who boast in the flesh, peace, mercy, and grace is simply a goal that cannot be attained. Those who boast in the cross, these things are given. You know, when we know Jesus, and we were changed by the gospel, and we recognize that we are now a new creation, and we've been shown ultimate peace, mercy, and grace, we can actually live that out. Because now, when we boast in the flesh, you know, it means that we are confident and we place our worth and our foundation in the things of this world, whether it's myself, whether it's the things around me. But when we boast in the cross, it's saying that I cannot do anything to earn this confidence that I have. The confidence comes from Jesus Christ. There's nothing I can do. He's given me everything that I need to believe, and therefore, I no longer have to strive for peace because I've been given it. I no longer have to strive to experience grace because I've been given all the grace that I need in Jesus Christ. I no longer have to strive for mercy because I've been shown mercy. Therefore, we must be walking examples of Jesus' peace and mercy and grace to the world. What do you boast in? What do you boast in? If you keep boasting in the flesh, there will be a time when there is nothing left to boast in. The trophies will rust, right? We go to, you know, especially athletes, right? They have a room in their house dedicated to all their trophies and medals that they have earned. And, you know, in a way, their worth, their importance in this world and in the universe is placed upon that room. To say, as long as I have this, then I'll be remembered. But at some day, some point, those trophies will rust. People will fail. When we place our foundation and we boast in the people around us, friends or family, saying, I come from a good family. And I come from a really good family. I have great friends. When we boast in those things, they will fail us too. All the things in the world around us will fade away. They will rust. They will fail. But if you boast in the cross, you will be able to boast into eternity. There will never be a time when the cross will ever fail us, because the cross has accomplished everything that we have needed. Jesus Christ came to earth. He saw a people in need who were broken. And he went to the cross to die for your sins. See, when you look at the cross, what do you see? See, we should see the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. A God who would give himself for us, to heal us, and to give us a salvation that we ourselves could not earn. Therefore, may we boast in the cross alone. See, that is the gospel. May you boast in the cross. Every day you'll be tempted to boast in the flesh. To say, I belong in this world because of all these things around me that I have created and I've stuffed into my closet. In reality, those things will fade. May we only boast in the cross, because the cross is the only thing that will never fade. Brothers and sisters, that is the message of the gospel for us. See, there is only one way for salvation. May we repent to give up of the flesh. May we believe in what Jesus has done and trust in him every day of our lives. Let's pray. Before I close, let us just take a moment to think about the cross. What does it mean to boast in the cross? What are ways that we are continually boasting in the flesh? And how does that compare to the cross? You know, may we continue to seek the brokenness of our heart and not heal it ourselves, but to seek the healing hand of Christ. Let's pray for that just for a moment. Lord, we admit that there is a constant temptation to boast in the flesh, to boast in the things that we have earned, our accomplishments, our heritage, our families, our successes. We want to boast in them because that's where we think we will find our worth and our importance. But Lord, help us to understand and know and realize that all those things will fade away. and the windows fade away, only one thing will remain, and that is you, O Lord. Therefore, may we not seek the things of this world, but may we boast in the cross which is the sign and the symbol that we are now saved, not by our works, but by faith. It is a symbol that you love us regardless of what we have done. It is a symbol that you would sacrifice your Son for us, that he would suffer and die so that we may live. May we see the cross, and may we learn to boast in it. Father, thank you for showing us this message and revealing it to us. Who would have thought that you would take the most despised symbol, the most hated symbol, and make it life for us? Lord, help us to see that that is for us. You take the most broken people and you heal them. Thank you that you healed me. Lord, we want to give you all the praise and all the glory as we sing of your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.